All right. Well, thanks for coming. Here's a little treat for you. Just take it and give it away. No, really. You can give it to Reagan next time you see her. You don't have to eat it. I understand if you don't want him to eat yourself. But this is a blessing from the Lord because he told me to do this. And, you know, we should always have our hands out ready to receive what God has. It may not be for you because he's called you to be an increase. And so you can increase somebody else if you don't eat them yourself. But you can, God will say, you can say, like Nancy said today, we should be asking the Lord all the time what we need to do. So if you don't eat those or whatever, just say, Lord, show me who you want me to give this to. And, you know, it might open a door that you never even thought about. You know, so hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you for this time. We praise you. It is a liberty to stand here because our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we have liberty, Father, in you through Jesus Christ, our righteousness, Father God. We have been made whole. We've been stamped, sealed, and approved by you, Father God. And we have something to rejoice about. And today, Father, I ask you to use me to open your word to bring fire up out of the hearts of every one of us, Father God, to advance the kingdom your way, Father God. And we just praise you and give you glory. We thank you we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a mouth to speak, and hands to receive, Father God. And we just praise you and give you glory and say, have your way, Holy Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, last year our theme was redemptive bondage. And isn't it interesting, we're talking about redemptive liberty this year. And you know, and this is a Holy Spirit conference, so we had, if you were here this, well, some of you weren't, but to hear Nancy share what's up for 2020, and it's got to be done by the Holy Spirit, because if it's you and something else, Jesus isn't in it. If you're in there anywhere at all with an I, or I did this, or I mean, I know sometimes you use I, but you know, from your heart, if you think you've done something, it's just carnality. It's not God. It won't be lasting. And God is Spirit and truth, and we're led in the truth by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And you know, we're going to look at Paul in a little bit. And you know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and we're going to look what that was. And we're going to understand more about how we can operate in the fullness of God with victory in every area. Because some things stop at the cross, some things happen at the cross, and then some things go through the cross. So we're excited about sharing that with you. My wife couldn't be here today. My grandson's having a birthday party, and that's just not going to happen. So, but she sends her love and she says, I support you. I said, I know you do. But she was going to come and I said, there's no sense you coming and then getting up in the middle and leaving, you know. So the babies are precious, and anybody that has grandchildren know that you just look at them and you just want to hug them and love them, and you remember everything you forgot to do with your own, you know. But you're so proud of them, and you just want to hold them all the time till they get to yelling and screaming. And it's like you're kind of past that, you know, your level. You need to pray and intercede that they don't do that. So anyway, they're great. And I, like I said out there today, I have six, and what a blessing. And today, we're at the Holy Spirit Encounter. The theme of this conference is redemptive faith. And you know, it's impossible to please God without faith. So what's he do? He gives us faith. He gives us a portion of faith, and that's where we operate from. In the very beginning, you operated on that in hope, hoping that you would, you know, he would receive you. You know, well, he was already waiting on you because he gives you a will. If he didn't give us a will, he'd be a dictator. And so he gives us a will, and he's drawing on that faith all the time to pull you and lure you in to making that proper decision to receive him as his Lord and Savior. Because before that, your Lord is the devil, and he's a flesh devil. He operates in the flesh. He has to work on something that has worked on you before. And he gets you to try to come in agreement with that. And the minute you do, then it opens a door for decrease in your life. And that's the truth. So when you receive him as Lord and Savior, now he's your real daddy. And everything is underneath him. Every word trumps anything the devil thinks he might fire at you in a fiery dart. And so you are victorious. You've been made victorious. And like Nancy said, the blessing of God has already been established in your life. Now put your hands out like this and say, I receive your blessings, Lord. From the Abrahamic covenant, I receive all my blessings with great joy. Now, for now is the appointed time, in Jesus' name. And that's how it works. So how do we facilitate those things in our lives? That's what we're going to learn here today. We're going to learn how to bring the blessing in our lives now. Not tomorrow. Yesterday's past. Tomorrow's not here. We live in the now. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our faith can't be in one another. Now, Nancy had a very good point there this morning when we say, well, we're going to pray for them. And I've been taught, if Rachel asks me to pray for her, and it's something that's, should be done right now, do it right then. Pray for her right now. I had a guy come to my work, and he's going on a mission trip, and he said, will you pray for me? And boy, it came right there, you know. And I grabbed his hands, and I started praying for him, and you ought to have seen his face. It's like, well, I didn't mean you'd pray for me now. You could just see it over him. And then when I got done, he goes, oh, thanks. You know, never expected it. But that's what the Lord wants done right now. And so when you do not enter into that covenant that you just said you would pray, or they had faith in you to ask you to pray. But the thing is, God led them to ask you to pray because he knew you had what they needed to advance the kingdom, because he works through people. And so when he works through people, that's you and me. So he raises us up, as Nancy said. All these things he's put in you, all these years he puts in you, he knows you're the one that needs to pray. And so he brings this person around, they're led, how many times you say, oh, I don't know why I went over there. Well, we shouldn't say that, because you know you're being led. You may not know the outcome, but we know it's going to be good. So he leads this person by Uda. Can you pray for me, Uda? And Uda says, yes. Boy, I'm telling you now, the things in the spirit are changing. They're backing up. The devil's going, oh gosh, Uda's praying. Because she has a history. She has a history. Because it's noised abroad when you pray, because it's spiritual. The devil operates in the flesh, but we operate in the spirit. But he has to come at us in the flesh. He has no authority, nothing. No authority at all. And God, what did he say to us? He says, I give you all authority. So our authority is in the spirit realm. But he says, declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established. So what should we be declaring and decreeing? The Word of God. So we're going to look at that. And so we're on redemptive faith. And the meaning of redemptive is deliverance from. You've been redeemed from every evil work. It can't even come nigh you. The devil's tries to convince you that it's part of you. You're born again. All things are new. You don't have a heart of stone anymore. You have a heart of flesh. And it's a good heart. And so what we have to do, we have to protect it, just like the grandbabies. You just get around them. No, we're going over here. We're not going next to the crocodile. You know, we're going over here. Because they don't know. You know, they don't know. And so what do they do? Okay. They just come around. That's what we need to do with the Holy Spirit. Say, okay. And that's a training process. That just doesn't happen, because you have your sinful nature to come in alignment, to make it obedient. And the battlefield is in the mind. It's in the mind. It's not anywhere else. It's in the mind. And so we're free from all sin. We're free from it. We don't have to participate in it. The twins, mercy and goodness, mercy and grace, They travel together. They're with you all the time. Mercy is going before you. Grace is in you, working. That's God's ability working in you. You have no ability, because if you did, you would have never cried out for Jesus. You never would, because He puts that in you, because He knows that you need a Savior that can get something done. And so many times in the world, we're called upon because we have a history maybe of just superseding in this area of craftsmanship. And so what do? We're called on. They can do that job right there. They can do it. Now, there's some that think they can do it, and there's like many Christians, they mean well, and they're just really, really sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. That, you know, Nancy shared about how we're raised in a church sometimes, and we're just all on board, and we grow, and all of a sudden it's like, there's more. There's more to the truth of God. And so they were sincere, but you've moved on. And that's the same thing as with the craft. A guy gets better in his craft as he goes and he goes. And you put him up against a young one, and it's like, well, where did you learn all that stuff? Well, son, I've been doing that for 50 years. And what's the Bible say? The old will raise the young. And so that's what we're to do. We're to raise the young. And the young may be 60 years old, but they're young in the Lord. But you got something for them. And so God is always using you. Say this, God is always using me to be an increase to someone. Okay. So, we're free from sin, we're free from captivity, we're free from bondage, lack, and death, and anything you guys can think of that we're free from that, you know, that's significant in your own lives. Do you have anything that comes to mind real quick? Lack, I look at finances. We're free from that. Now, we're free from death. We don't have to die. We don't have to be ailing in our bodies and stuff. But how do we counteract that? How do we make that happen? It's with our mouth. And the praying in the Spirit in tongues, I'll just say it in tongues because I said this last year. You know, sometimes you'll ask somebody, say, do you pray in the Spirit? Oh, yeah, yeah. Speak in tongues? No, no. How would they pray in the Spirit? I mean, really. They can't do it. They can't do it. They're praying out of their intellect. And what is that? That's part of your soul, mind, will, and emotions. We're made up spirit, soul, and body. And so we need to operate from our spirit because what the Bible says, God is spirit and truth. So if you haven't prayed in the Spirit and you're trying to read the Word, or you're praying for somebody and you haven't prayed in the Spirit a lick, I would imagine, and would be probably 100% right, that you're praying from experiential issues experiential. That's where you're praying from, because it worked over here. And I know a very prominent man, and I'll tell you, because I hate it when people say, oh, I know this guy, you would know him, and you're all wondering, well, is it Billy or Jimmy? But it is Keith Moore in Missouri. I heard him tell this himself. He was having a cold, just terrible, coughing and everything. And he was praying, he was fasting and everything. And my old pastor said, you know, if you're not getting any answers, he said, you're probably asking the wrong questions. So he said, Lord, what is going on? He said, you might try closing that window at night. And he closed the window. Everything's fine. Yeah. So, you know, it's a lot of times, you know, even though he's a man of God, we're all men of God, women of God, you may be just going down the wrong road with your thinking, you know, because it's kind of like Nancy said today. She said, I can do that. We don't really need you, God. You're grieving the Holy Spirit because you're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. So that's what he was doing. He was kind of praying, asking God questions and everything. But then when he got serious, when he'd run out, nothing's happening, God's not answering, he says, God, what's wrong? What's going on? Close the window. That ended the problems. Now, while I'm on this subject, and this is part of being liberated in the things of Christ, This man, I just heard this the other day, and hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. This man's a pastor, and he pastored for, I believe, 30 years already. He has a little ailment. He goes to the hospital, get checked out, emergency room, I guess. And they said, well, you got about 6 days to live. He says, what? He says, they said your whole insides wore out, broke down. Now, that wouldn't be part of the covenant, would it? All right. Remember, we have spirit, soul, and body. All right. And we have a will. And we have to submit our will to the Lord, the Holy Ghost. So he's up there in the bedroom, or in the bed in the hospital, and he's saying, God, I don't understand this. I've pastored for 30 years. I've done everything you've told me. And he said, now why is this happening? He said, nothing. He said, God, why aren't you talking to me? He said, I don't get this. Now he's crying. He's just, you know, he knows he's only got, you know, just a few days. And he said, I don't understand it. And he says, you haven't done what I told you to do. And this is going to go right back to what we're talking about, redeemed. And we have a role to play in this redemption. And it's walking out in obedience God's word. So he says, well, God, what have I done that I haven't been obedient? He said, you know, I rested on the seventh day. He said, you haven't rested in 30 years, not one day. Well, God, he said, I have. I minister on Sundays, and he said, I usually take part of the day Monday. He said, you haven't done what I told you to do. He said, you've wore your body out. He said, your body's shot. He said, you're coming to heaven, but he said, your body's wore out. You've never rested it. It's gone as far as it can go. And he goes, oh, now this man must have been a tremendous man, you know, humble to God and everything, every intention doing right. He just started repenting and crying out to God, and he felt the power of God come right on him. And totally healed. He got up out of the bed, put his clothes on, and by this story, that was 10 years ago. He hasn't even had a cold. And every Thursday, all we do is just rest and spend time with God. That's it. Now, that's just a little thing, but look at that. Break that down and look. Here this man is preaching, didn't say how big his congregation was or anything like that. And I don't know his name, Rod, tell you. And, you know, probably many people getting saved, many people getting healed, and he's falling apart because he didn't honor what God said to do for your fleshly body, you see. So that really spoke to me a lot because there's many people that, you know, they're just busy, 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 including myself. And even though you go to church on Sunday like he was doing, he's doing the work of God. Sounds all good, but he's not being obedient. Now, God did tell him, he said, you don't have to take Sunday. He said, take one day a week and rest. And he said, you'll see a huge difference. So the man that was telling his story was saying he was trying to get an appointment with him, to meet with him, because he had such wisdom. And he said, I don't have anything on Thursday. He goes, oh, that's great. He said, we can meet on Thursday then. He said, no, I don't have anything on Thursday. And he says, well, you had stuff Monday, you had stuff Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and we know you get ready Saturday and prepare and everything and all week long and Sunday. And he said, Thursday's a great day because you don't have anything. He said, you're not getting it. And then he told him the story, you know. And he said that he told his staff, just to show you how this works, he told his staff, don't schedule me anything on Thursday. And they called him one time, and they said, this, excuse me, only time we can meet with this person on Thursday. He said, you ever call me again, you're fired. He said, I told you, we're honoring God on Thursday. And that was the end of that. But you see, not everybody gets on board. I remember one boy who was a pastor. He's a pretty phenomenal pastor in Indianapolis now. His children are in the ministry and so forth and so on. And he gave up karate and all this stuff. And in a service where he was denouncing this and all the covenants and, that he had made in those oaths you take, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and honor this and honor that. He renounced all that stuff. Right after service, this guy gets up in the back and he says, "Pastor, could you teach me a few of them moves just so I could, you know, be able to protect myself?" He says, "Did you not even listen?" But you see, that's, he really wasn't listening, was he? He was listening with his carnality rather than his spirit. Because when you hear that stuff by the Spirit, it quickens you and you're ready to go to serve the Lord. So anyway, let's turn to Psalm 119, and I want to look at 130. Okay, I better get my little specs on here. I had to breathe deeper, I guess. That was a word, you know that, this morning, about breathing? That really was. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And you got to remember, this is before the cross. We're not simple. But we're simple if we don't have Jesus. Or we're simple if we're operating in our carnal minds, or natural minds. And then 105, let's look at that. "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now this is something to get excited about, because we all take our walks and in life. Some people call them bunny trails, you know, when you're ministering or anything. But it's a life trail. It's not a bunny trip. It's a life trail. It's a path that you're going down in your life. And just to know that God, His word is your lamp to your feet, and your feet are the gospel of peace. Now you got a light to take you where you need to go. And you know, if you're following a flashlight in the darkness, and it's truly dark, you follow that light. You don't go over here and shine the light over there, because you're going to stumble. So there's another promise to get you excited. It's like, God's going to lead you right. You're going to be victorious in everything that you do if you follow Him. So His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119 is called a wisdom psalm. And then I want to read 119 verse 1-8. Because this is some of the stuff that goes through the cross. Some, you know, the law stopped at the cross. And how you say that it stopped at the cross, we don't have to fulfill the law because it's already been fulfilled. That's part of our redemption. That's what Jesus did. So, but it still goes through it. Because what would you think the law was for? If grace is sufficient, why do we have to look at the law? Anybody got an answer for that? Remember what we're made up of? Soul, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit in the middle, soul, next one, and then the body. It's for our bodies. It's for our everyday life, because it's like, if you go over here and steal something, isn't there repercussions to stealing? Maybe 1 to 10? You know, and then you go over here and murder somebody, could be life, you know. And even if you act like you're going to murder somebody, and today, you didn't do it, but you just happened to be in that arena, there's a good chance you're going to the pen anyways. Then you're going to get to meet a lot of people, you know, that's not going anywhere, that you're going to rub elbows with them every day, and some of them won't like your elbow. So that's why we have the Ten Commandments. It's a guideline. It's just like we go down the road, and we've all done this. Somebody raise their hand if they've never sped on the highway. So we're all guilty, aren't we? Going straight to hell, ain't we? Huh? And we've got away with it. And some of us have got caught. And some of us got caught when we weren't speeding because it looked like we were, but we weren't. That happened to me once. And the guy was gracious. He was. But I went to the truck and prayed because I know I wasn't speeding. That's happened to me twice, that I was not speeding and I got pulled over and was going to be in big trouble. One was my boss's truck was... It was back in the 80s and did a lot of drugs, smoking, doping, and all that stuff. And he got rid of that truck because he was speeding so much. Well, they didn't know he wasn't driving it. So that truck shows up, they yank it right over. And I got two tickets with that thing. The third one, I said, I am not getting another ticket. And he goes, you got to sign this. I said, I'm not signing anything. And we went to jail. And then they got out and I got rid of that truck and that ended that, you know. But... He said, would you just get in that little truck and just follow me right downtown here? And I said, okay. I never did sign that paper, and the judge threw it out. He did not have me on the radar, and he didn't show up at the court thing. So I had to pay the cost for the judge's time, but I got no ticket or anything. So, you know, we don't obey that commandment. And that's it says, give Caesar what Caesar's due. So that's part of our commandments on the Department of Highways. We obey the speed limit or pay the price. It's the same thing with the Ten Commandments. God's trying to protect you, and it's just a little sign. Don't steal. Be nice to your mom and dad. Be well with you. You don't have to do it, and it's not going to keep you out of heaven, but it'll get you there quicker because... grace is sufficient. Where sin abound, grace much more abounds. So you can sin all you want if you're saved, and why you would, I don't know. Your first thing, if he's telling somebody that, they'd say, well, you need to get saved. Well, I say you need to get to know the Lord, you know, somewhere. You know, we've all walked away to a certain point, you know, we come back. But some people, you know, walk away a lot. And doesn't mean they're not going to heaven. But they sure are. What was that word Nancy used this morning about hurting God? Grieving. No, that wasn't it. Despising. Yeah. We're despising the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We're like throwing your nose up at Him. How would that make you feel if that was you? And God gave me a picture one time of Jesus hanging on a cross and the blood, because she was talking about that gentleman today that played Jesus. He gave me that right after I, you know, I say rededicated, but I got serious with God. And he gave me that one Sunday morning. And I mean, you just see that hanging on the cross, that blood dripping for you. How would you feel if you just go, well, I got this, God. I got it. He's going, all I've done for Him, He doesn't even know. I mean, you know, that's the truth of it. If we look at it in the natural man, in the spirit realm, he doesn't even see that. He's just going, come over here. Come over here. I got so much more over here. Over here. Come on, come on. Help him. Help him get over there. That's good. Okay. You got the blessing. But that's the way he looks at it. He doesn't see that sin and stuff. Because if he did, he'd dust us. He would. That's what he did in the Old Testament. You know. And he brought, and that's like... was it the sons of thunder? They said, just rain fire down on them. And he said, you don't know who you are. We don't know who we are. We don't know that we have the power of the living Christ in us by the Holy Spirit. And our words are powerful. And we can call blessing in, or we can bring cursing in. And we can advance somebody, or we can decrease them. Just like Nancy was sharing today about the people praying. You know, they're dependent on your prayers. They're dependent on your prayers. And they need your prayers. And a man said one time to me, he said, you need to pray and I need to practice. And that's true. So, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So you're going to be blessed. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. That's who you are. You can't do iniquity if you walk in His ways. You can't do it. You don't have those thoughts because your mind is being renewed to the Word. Thou hast commanded us to keep the precepts diligently. Precepts meaning God's way. He wants us, He's commanded us to do this, because in Deuteronomy 28, He talks about the blessing and the cursing, and over there later He says, choose life. Don't choose the death, choose the life. So He's commanded us what to do. And that goes through the cross. That doesn't stop at the cross, that came through. What stopped at the cross is your works. It says labor to enter His rest. How would you labor to enter God's rest? Probably praying in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, your soulish man comes under. It becomes dead, and your spirit man rises up, and God loves it. Because now, like Nancy said, got your hands in the air, you're worshiping. You start out praising. You start out praying in the Spirit. Before you're done, you'll be singing. You'll be having your hands in the air. You'll be dancing, and you'll be praying for somebody, somewhere or other. And ask God for the interpretation. He'll give it to you. He'll tell you what you're praying for, because He doesn't want to hide any good thing from you. So, you know, let Him know. That's how, you know, the reason this is so good, these Holy Spirit encounters, is because Nancy comes, she's a prophetic voice of the Lord. It's a sounding, those things you speak at through those microphones, it's noised abroad. It's noised in the spirit realm what she's proclaiming, because the Word, God is flowing through her, out of her bellies flow living water, and that's the Word of God, and she's proclaiming that to the areas, and it has to line up. Now it's, you see, God said, well, I think we're going to have stars. And He says, we're going to have stars. And then He says, stars be. Nancy proclaims something in that area, and it's up to us who are in that area, wherever it is. Now be. And, you know, the Word of God is caught. It's caught. You got to catch it and make it your own. You got to catch it and make your own, and then proclaim it. Declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established according to the Word of God. And so it's real easy. But if people don't catch, the prophet comes, well, I didn't like that. It wouldn't. I don't think that was God at all. Well, what are they thinking? This is a woman led of the Spirit. Tells you this up front. This is not me. This is God. So how would we understand? How would we determine whether that was the Word of God? We go right to the Scripture, and when it lines up with that Scripture, you better bank on it. It's going to happen if you'll catch it. And so what will we do? Like, she's come to this area. We catch. She's going to tell us about 2020 tonight. What's coming for us? We catch that, and we proclaim it, and we declare it, and the enemy's going, oh, gosh, can't do nothing now. Because the prophet is to proclaim. The teachers to teach, the pastor pastors, the evangelist evangelizes. There's another one in there. Apostle establishes. So that's the fivefold ministry. And what does God say about the fivefold ministry? It's the equipping of the saints. Are you saints? I'm a saint. You know, so that's what it's for. So we got to catch that, and I believe everyone in here is. And I have written down here, law translated basically means instruction or direction. Now we're going to get to our topic, enjoying liberty. That'd be 119:45. It says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Now, does somebody else, I never did this, compared it with other scriptures or other Bible teachings. Does it read any different anywhere else? Does anybody have anything different? Forty-five, yeah. And I will walk at liberty. Well, that's good, isn't it? See, right there is what liberty is, freedom. You have freedom. Now, they have that speed limit deal on the Autobahn. you can go over there and fly. And somewhere out in Wyoming, you can just open it up. There's a toll road out there, and you can just go whatever you want. And now that would be free, wouldn't it? You know, for some people. I saw a guy yesterday in looked like a new Mustang GT, red one, convertible. And I mean, it was nice, set low and everything. Now, he would really enjoy that road, wouldn't he? Because he stopped at a light, vroom, vroom, and you know he couldn't do nothing, you know, but he'd like to, you know. So he would really enjoy his liberty. And for why? Because we seek the precepts. And what was it you said there? Instead of precepts, what was it? Devoted. Now, you know, how many times have we heard love is blind? You know, young girl and guy, they're so devoted to one another, and you know, they can't see one, doesn't even comb his hair, and he doesn't have a job. He don't care. We'll live on love. Well, they got the, you know, we've all heard that story. Maybe some of us have been there, you know. But they're devoted. But we need to be devoted to the commandments of God, because that's where life is, and that's where life is more abundantly. You can live in the promises and the blessings of the Lord God Jehovah. And so we have liberty, we're free, we can walk freely. Precepts is His ways. And now here's something I just want to clarify before we get into looking at Paul. Because, you know, Paul was, Nancy might have been his sister on that airplane this morning, Paul's sister, you know, because Paul, everywhere he went, he was rocking and rolling. It sounded like Nancy was rocking and rolling on that airplane. And I've had some experiences on a plane, but nothing like that. And we was going in one time to land, and the thing stood straight in the air like that, and it was this little Cessna, and the guy swings the door open. He says, "Get out!" And it was a bad windstorm. It was up in Wisconsin, and we got out, and he took off. And because he said he could get above that wind with just him, you know. But I was glad it was him leaving, not me. And so another time was in the Carolinas, and it was a bigger plane. It was a small little prop jet. And he says, "We're going to hit some turbulence." And I tightened my seatbelt up, and this is the truth. I was sitting on that seat and hit my head on the ceiling. I thought it, like, jerked me in two. And he went high to get out of that. Now, there's a good word right there. He went high to get out of it. We need to look up and go high to get out of anything. Soar like the eagle. So, but heaven is a place. That's where you're going once you receive Jesus Christ as a work for you and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Because He paid your penalty. He paid the price with Himself. He took stripes for your healing. There is no reason why anybody should suffer. And here's the thing. We suffer because the Bible says we're ignorant. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's ignorance, you know. And it's not like a bad thing, ignorant. I mean, you just don't know if you don't know to put your hand in this electric socket. You try it, and you only do it once. You know, and you may never do it ever again if it's the right one, the wrong one. But so that's a place. That's where you're going. But the kingdom of heaven is God's ways. And that's what we're talking about here. Seek His ways. Be devoted to His commandments and His rules. And because He's wanting to increase you. He has good for you. He says, what is it in Jeremiah? "I know the plans I have for you, and they are good, and they'll prosper you. They'll prosper you." So we need to get that mindset. And how we keep that mindset is praying in the Spirit, reading His Word, rather than giving everything place in the world. You know, and for instance, God showed me this one time. I was going to a church, and I was running late. Well, I was supposed to be leading something. And I said, "Oh, man, Lord." And He said, "You should have prayed." He said, "You have authority over that light." He said, "You have the green light everywhere you go." He said, "Take your authority and command that stuff to be opened up for you when you go." And it's like, "Oh, really?" Well, I started doing it. It works when you're serious. Now, if you come out of your mind, or get in your mind, it don't work. But when you come out of your spirit with that, you watch, them lights will work. How many of you have prayed for a parking place? You were sincere. They show up. Why not step another level up and try something else? You know, see if it works. God said, try me. So, we need to be diligent, and we need to enjoy that liberty. And when you start seeing these things happen, those are testimonies. And what does the Bible say? You're kept by your testimony. Now, Rachel has something, testimony. I can't take that from her. There's no way you're going to change her mind. And she has plenty of them. I know her. And it's like, yeah, think what you want, John. I know that I know. And you'll get indignant about it, won't you? You'll say, I'm not changing my mind. We all do that. We all do that. And that's what you're supposed to do, because you're rehearsing the blessing of God that manifested in your life. And that's what we're looking at. So in order to move ahead, let's look at what Jesus' obedience on the cross established for all that will receive. He paid for your sin. He paid for anything that was not of God. And we had an instructor in Bible college. We'd just start saying this every time he'd say something. It's sin. We'd say, it's sin. And he'd go, well, he said, at least you're getting it. Because he knew we were ragging him, you know, because everything was sin. And if it's not God, it's sin, isn't it? It's just the bottom line. But he was sold out on that. And so we always had a little fun time with that. So, and we've been redeemed from every curse. Every curse of that law, been redeemed from it. And we've been set in right standing. We've been set in heavenly places by Jesus Christ. By our own testimony of receiving Him as Lord, we've been established, stamped with approval, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we have to receive that? Is there anybody in here that does not pray in tongues, in the Spirit? Anybody? So everybody does. See, so we've all received. So we're tight. We're tight. We can move mountains. The Bible says, speak to that mountain. Well, whatever it is in your life, you speak about it. But here's the thing. Don't speak from experience. Speak from revelation. Rhema word. God will give you the rhema word like He did that man with the window. You see, he was praying scriptures. A lot of people just pray scriptures because they think that's going to work. The will of God works where His will is known. When you know what His will is, you don't pray that way. You pray in the Spirit, you get the direction, He'll give you the scripture, and you speak it, it's a done deal. Because, you know, I don't think God's going to tell you to do something and it's going to fail. Just like Nancy said, we ain't going down, I'm on the plane. I'm not dying. Do you know? Just think about that proclamation. I'm not dying today. Well, who was coming after the plane? Spirit of death. Spirit of death. And those people felt it. And she said, we're not dying. So that spirit of death had to go. Because one person on the plane proclaimed the word of God. So that kind of tells you what church is about. What these conferences are about. It's like, I come and I'm a mess. And I'm sitting here on the chair, Uta's speaking, and it's like, next thing you know, I've got my head off my chest, and now I'm looking up, and Uta says, John, I believe I got a word here for you. I know I got a word here for you from God. He loves you. It's like, see, the darkness is leaving because I've surrounded myself. I'm falling in because you all have been obedient to prepare yourself, and people coming in, they get to receive the blessing. Like Nancy says, bring them up the mountain. And that's what we do. We're increasers. That's all we are. We're vessels of God to increase. And you never once gave something away, prayed for somebody that you didn't see the result of more of a blessing in your own life. It's like people say, well, I'm going to give all these gifts away at Christmas. We're not taking anything. They get more gifts coming in. People come in and give them, here, I just wanted you to have this. And it's like, the giver is always the most blessed in the end, because you're not going to outgive God. Yeah. And if you don't give Him the glory, that'll stop. You know, that'll stop. Because he said he shares his glory with no man. No man. So, now we're saved, we're complete, and we're whole once again. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus with new hearts. We are born of His Spirit. We have a new Father, blessing, not cursings. I'm going to jump ahead because lack of time, because I know that it's so important, because I'm being led that way. Thank you, Father. My wife Gay had a word for me last night, and or this morning, that God gave her last night. God gave me the same word last night. I've got it written down right here. And you all, I'm terrible about this, and I'm learning better. But I have to really push in to remember addresses. And and basically the truth of it is I don't give it enough place. That's just like if we don't remember names, we didn't really pay attention and really value. What was that word again that Nancy said about God? Despise. Yeah, we didn't really value them. And that's the way it is with God. We're despising. We're really despising them, you know. And we have to learn people's names, but you know what I'm saying. We need to really value people and realize that we are changers. We change the arena of people's lives if we're obedient to do what the Holy Spirit says. Now, in Isaiah 61, it says that. I've been anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring the good news. And in Luke, that's the same thing. It's in the New Testament. You, for such a time as this, you're to set the captive free, you bring the news, the good news. And the good news is Jesus Christ. And so that was a word for me. And let's just look at that in Isaiah. I'm not sure exactly where it is in Luke. It's Luke 4. I think it's Isaiah 61. I've been anointed to preach the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, verse 1, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now that's in Luke 4, the very same thing. And so you could all say, the Spirit of the Lord, God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed you to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You know, you can be saved and be bound. You know, you can. And so that's why we come to these, to be refreshed, to be renewed, to be instructed on, you know, what's God saying, what's coming forth down the pike for us, what we need to do to flow in the river of life. And we want to look at Paul because he was a worldly man and very obedient to do what he felt was doing right. He was sincere in what he was doing, and he was killing Christians. And it didn't matter what age they were or anything, he dusted them. And what I thought was interesting was, God said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, isn't that interesting? That shows you how connected and covenant we are with God. And lines right up with what Nancy said, you know. So you do something and it hurts him. You do something good, it brings great joy to him. And so it's, as parents, we see the same thing with our children, except we sometimes think that we fell short in doing something when that's the world. And they're little people too. They make decisions. But if we pray and carry them correctly in the spirit realm, it says no evilness, no sickness, no can come nigh your dwelling. And your children are your dwelling. and they're under your covering. And so sometimes we, you know, we might have to get help, you know, from somebody else to help pray through some things with children. And I'm sure everybody's had their moments to where they've had to really attack something spiritually to set their children free, to let them walk in that liberty that we have. And that is our covenant right. That is a covenant right. We are to enforce the kingdom of God. And we're not to stand back and say, well, I hope Buddha's praying for me because I don't feel like it. That ain't going to work. That's not going to work. Here's what's happening. Uda's praying. She's praying for me, and I'm just standing there like this. And the fiery darts are just coming to my head, but they can't come with more because Uda's put a stop to it. But now I'm entertaining all this stupid stuff because it's up to me to take a stance and proclaim the Word of God in my own life. And so, that's just like what a good example Nancy gave about... you know, they prayed for her. They felt the power of God. And anybody that's ever spoken and said, you know, we're going to pray for you. And, you know, God always had people lay hands on people and they sent them out. And here, you know, and this is a big thing in ministry. Big thing in ministry. Just like today after this, you got to refuel. You got to refuel. You got to refire because you spent a lot of time preparing for whatever it was. Maybe just to go to work, ministering somebody to work. And so you go, boy, I'm glad we're done with that. Now the attack's going to come because you sent the word out. You've changed somebody's life and the devil is mad. And so he's going to come at you because he's sick and tired of you messing up his plans. And what does the Bible say? He comes after the word. So Paul was definitely messing up God's plans. But he was working hard for the devil. And the Lord struck him down and blinded him. The big light came, the presence of God, the glory of God, and he fell to his knees. Now he can't see. Of course, he was blind anyways. You know, he blind to the things of God spiritually. And so now he said, why are you persecuting my people? So they take him up to the town, and Ananias is spoken to, and Paul's having a dream. And what does... They're scared of him. Can you imagine? This guy has killed many, many, many people. And God's saying, Ananias, now you get over there, lay hands on him. It takes a free man to set another man free. A free man. Who is our man? Jesus. He came as a man operating in the Spirit. He said, I do nothing unless I see my Father do it. So he operated as a free man. He set us free because we received it. Now then, we received the blessing of God. But because we have the sinful nature trying to come at us all the time, we have things to deal with. Well, sometimes you can't deal with it. God will send that free person over to help you. He'll help you, and he'll set you free like that. That's what deliverance is. You know, some people just, they've dallied in stuff, maybe not even meant to, and they opened a door somewhere, and they just can't seem to get rid of it. You know, God brings somebody along to take care of that. And that's so important to remember. So, He says he's called. Paul's called to the people to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Now I want to go to 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Liberty. Paul now has liberty, didn't he? And you know what? He understands it. He understands it because he was on the wrong side, killing people. How would he must have felt? Well, he didn't feel that way too long because they had to tell the other people, he's changed. He's a changed man. He's over there preaching Jesus. He's telling them. He's telling them straight up. They're good. And he settled the whole area because the others were saying, he's changed. He's really changed. So, now who's mad? The devil. The devil's really mad. He's filled with the Spirit. He's chosen of God. God's hand is on him. Now, everything he's doing, he's led of the Spirit. And he only goes where the Spirit tells him to go. Well, over here in... before we go to that, was Esther Was Esther led of the Spirit, or was she led of by her carnality, you think? I'm going to say both. Because Mordecai challenged her. For such a time as this, Esther, you think not. Now, we've all been in this place. Don't you think you're somebody? God will send somebody else, you know. And so she was obedient to Mordecai's direction. Mordecai was being led by God. And she had been raised from a little child being obedient to Mordecai. So it was like, I better do this. I better do it. And look what happened. A whole nation was changed. And the man that was in the flesh, Haman, him and his family died, you know. And so there's a sign of obedience, and it may not even be totally of the Spirit, but don't you think God's going to be showed off one way or the other? He's not going to be shamed. Like our pastor used to say, just give him the tenth. He'll make it whole. You know, you're down to your last tenth, and you know, it's like, oh, God, what do I do? That's all he needs. What do I do? Help me. That's what he did when we were saved. He says, okay, come on in. So when you understand your enemy, and let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 14. Boy, I'm really having to hurry here. I got a place I'm going, and we're going to get there. Hallelujah. I don't know if I can even find Corinthians. It's over here in the New Testament. Two, verse one. I tell you, I'm just starting to shake. I feel the power of God coming. Hallelujah. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness, for I make you sorry. Who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest... We're supposed to be in 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Now this is 1 Corinthians 2, 1. Not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery. This is what you do. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princesses of this world knew, for they had not known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, that the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God reveals them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searching all things, yea, the deep things of God. The things of the Spirit are revealed to you. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God teaches you, shows you everything. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is key to right living. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How about that? Tells you right there, it's by the Spirit we move. Now I want to go over to 2 Corinthians, I think it is. I'm just about out of time here, which is probably not unusual, huh, Rachel? and 12. I think this is where we're going. This is where we're going. This is the key. This is the key right here. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Okay. 7. Are we all there? 12, 7. Say amen. 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 Unless I should be exalted of measure through the abundance of the revelations. You see, some people will exalt somebody. You know, that's like an evangelist. Evangelist doesn't have a pastor's heart. He'll have people following him all over the whole place because signs and wonders follow him, because that's what he flows in, because he's to stir you up. He's to get you on fire for Jesus Christ. And so people that aren't grounded in a church somewhere, they'll follow him. They'll follow him all over the world. You know, and if he, and he'd be wrong not to have a heart for those people, the pastor's heart, to get them in a fellowship, because forsake not the assembling yourselves in the house of God. And so you've got to be grounded in a church somewhere, but it's got to be the right church, the one that's preaching. And that's what the evangelists come, to equip the saints. And so Paul could, you know, he could very well be tooting his own horn about lots of things. I mean, you know, they stone him, he dies, he gets up and runs and all this. And so people could follow him because, you know, he could have a pretty good resume there. But there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now what? Let's think about this now. This man has gone through everything. Christ has raised him up. You know, the Holy Ghost is just working in him. That thorn in the flesh is a demonic angel. Petition to just hammer him, beat him up to where he can't even go do nothing. Beat his flesh up, because the devil's a flesh devil. And he's going to tear him up and try to get him to stop on the word. And what does God say? Listen to what God says. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, he says, thrice, that it might depart from me. And the Lord says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in his weakness. So he's got an hourly testimony. Every hour, God's raising him up from that fiery, that demonic spirit sent from hell to personally assigned to Paul to shut him up. That's what his thorn in the flesh is. It's just a bombardment all the time. Just somebody assigned to you. Just, you know, like in school or a bully. Just boom, boom, every time you go around a corner. Boom, boom. He'll wear you out. You won't even want to go around that corner. And, you know, would you get hope deferred? Somebody, the devil just whipping you up like that? I mean, you know, we see people with an arm and it's like, oh, what's wrong? And they tell you a whole life story because they fell on their arm. You know, they're weary. They're weary. And what would Paul be like with that demonic thing? And God says, my grace is sufficient. So what's he got to do? He's got to call on the name of the Lord. He's got to speak the word of God into his situation. He has to rebuke that devil and he has to go. But, you know, realize that's where what Nancy said, this prayer team, that helps that stuff. Because don't you think that you know, the enemy doesn't come after the word. And we all pull together, and we've got to realize just how valuable we are to one another. We can't make it without one another in everything that God wants us to do. You know, because he has a plan, just like today. He has a plan for this whole seminar, and it's to establish us in who are we in Christ. You are the redeemed of Christ. You are the blessed of God. You are first and not last. You're the alpha. You are not the tail. You are highly favored. Oh, what is it, Lord? Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. The joy of the Lord is your strength. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You're the head, not the tail. You put your hand to the sick and they're healed. You can raise the dead. Everywhere you go, favor, mercy and grace follows you. The joy of the Lord is new each and every morning. You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, leading and guiding you. That's who you are. You're God's favorite. You're his favorite. So that's what he wants us to know, that we are blessed and highly favored. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. That's definitely the story with Paul. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The name of Jesus is above all names. Every other name bows to the name of Jesus. And Jesus was our example. He was a man in the Spirit, obedient, and brought us increase. We can do the same in His name. We can do it. We can do it. And the thing about it is, it's He's done it. We just speak it and it happens. So, praise God, I went 50 minutes instead of 45, I think. Huh? Oh. So, we're supposed to have a question and answer, but I really feel the Lord strong and I think sometimes it's just like, you know, we think, like Nancy was talking about, you know, she never misses an altar call. And I think sometimes we think, well, we don't want to bother God with this, and we don't want to bother Him with that. And I can do this, and that's wrong. We need to run to Jesus, our Father. We need to run to Him, and we just need to be. We don't have to have all this nice language, you know, proper etiquette and all that, and the vernacular is just perfect. We just need to come to Him as a child. We're all children. Don't matter what age, we're all children of God. And we just come to Him and says, run unto Him. Run unto Him. Run to that mercy seat. And when you start realizing who you are and telling yourself who you are, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God, when you start speaking this stuff to yourself and saying, I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I am the head and not the tail. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. You start encouraging yourself, and next thing you know, you'll get happy. You'll get happy because the world has a way to take you down, but you got to remember that's the plan of the enemy. That's his fleshly plan to take you down. So does anybody have any comments on any of this in their own life? I mean, did you learn anything, or was it helpful, or... I think about Nancy, what she does in the voice, and I'm not lifting her up or anything. I'm lifting Christ up, but we must, you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. We must learn how to croak in our own pond, you know, so to speak. You know? It's not pride. What is that song I hear all the time? I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody about someone. Now, is that just totally stupid? Huh? You are somebody. But they don't know it. See, their heart is right. But what I'm saying is, and I'll bet you anybody's heard that probably started out like, and then it kicked in. The Lord started talking to you. Somebody. Or a nobody. You're a somebody. Because you'll find yourself tapping your toe to some of this stuff. And it's like, it's just a fleshly thing, because all of a sudden your flesh starts feeling better, and then God starts talking to you. What are you doing? Listen to that. You're a somebody. You're not a nobody, you know, and hoping to tell the world, you know. Well, you can't even say His name, Jesus, you know. But that's how the enemy works, and we have to realize we got something to croak about. We are the redeemed. We are been redeemed from bondage. We have been set in liberty, and we have a dance, and we have a shout, a shabak, and we should use our shabak. We should praise God with everything that's in us. And it's like I heard somebody say the other day, if a song isn't fitting you, just praise Him anyway. Put your hands up in the air and start in. You know what? It'll catch on. They'll change their tune. I've heard people singing stuff, and I'm going, Lord, you got to help them. You got to get them on a different page here. Next thing you know, I just think I need to change this. You have that power when it's not of God. You have that authority. And you think, we don't want to upset them. You know, wrong. Why waste God's time? We've come here to worship God in spirit and truth, and we're not in the spirit, so let's get the truth out there and get in the spirit and worship Him and praise Him. You know, let's don't... Man, if you just jump and shout because you're saved, that'll be good enough. He'll work it way in there. He'll increase you. And you know, and you just can't stand around at the office or whatever, wherever you might be at the store, and listen to somebody just dump, you know, about somebody. Did you hear what happened over at that church? You know, and we've probably all been guilty of it some way or other, but we need not to do that. You know, that's what you need to do. You need to go, you've just told me this stuff. Let's just pray about that stuff, sister. I know you. And start praying, because that's the only thing that's going to change, because they think they're doing right. It's like that deal with Sister Nancy told us. You know, they thought they were all right, but who in the world would think, well, we're not going to teach Acts, but I've heard that before. We're not going to teach Corinthians. No. Why? Because that's what's going to set them free. You know, so, and did you notice there with Paul and Ananias, they were all, it said, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they got baptized. Well, what does Acts say about the Holy Spirit? Jesus tells them, be endued with power so you can be a witness. There's a good rule right there. It says you're not going to do anything unless you're filled with the Spirit. You can't be a witness. How can you be a witness if you're not flowing in spirit and truth? So, hallelujah. So, I really hope that that God spoke to you about something. I know He spoke to me about a lot of things and here, preparing and everything, but mostly it's about remembering who you are. That's what He spoke to me about, and that's what Nancy's talking about. I was getting so excited back here because I was thinking, gosh, Lord, and that's what happens. That's what happens when you're flowing in the Spirit, and God will speak to you the same thing that your minister, your pastor, or whoever it is, like in this case, Nancy, coming here, he'll get you on the same page real quick. And he'll have you praying the same. Because what is there? Power in agreement. Power in agreement. So, you know, without agreement, there's no power. And, you know, you take two horses. You know, I used to go to those horse pulls all the time when I was little, and I had to quit going because I'd get to crying so bad. Grandpa, let's go home, because they were rough on them. They were mean that to them, you know. And when they were mean to them, they'd go like this. They'd seesaw. And they wouldn't get anywhere. Like tear the harnesses up and everything. And you had a horseman there that knew how to operate the horses. And he'd just get up, and they'd just go, and he'd say, whoa. And they'd pull the sled. And them other ones, they couldn't even get them hooked up because they were nervous. They were scared. They were all worked up. And we don't need to be worked up. We need to follow peace and let peace be our guide. Peace. If you're not in peace, you need to say, brother, I need to go. You know, because the Bible says you can't do anything with an angry man. And if peace isn't there, somebody's angry. And so, well, thanks so much. Thanks so much. And Father, we thank You and praise You that this word is sealed in our hearts and in our minds. And we thank You, Father, we yield not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways we yield to You and trust You, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Father, we thank You for the workshops this afternoon. We just thank You that they're very productive in our lives, that we receive them as an instruction from You, and then we act upon it, Lord. And faith without actions is dead, You said. So we thank You that we operate in faith, Father God, acting in our faith because of You, the greater One living in us. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, for being so gracious and kind to us, and we thank You for the seminar, and we just thank You, Father, that You found this area with Your blessing, and we will speak Your blessing and proclaim Your blessing and declare Your blessing and proclaim Your blessing and declare Your blessing, Father, and see it manifest. We thank You, Father. We love You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You probably wonder why I'm getting tongue-tied, but